Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The Reading Railroad, St. James Place, Marvin Gardens, and of course, Boardwalk. These names are synonymous with the classic century-old board game Monopoly. Over the decades, the game has inspired countless thematic spinoffs, including even Sacramento-opoly. But one of these thematic inspirations has risen out of the ashes of the devastating 2018 campfire in Butte County. Paradise-opoly was created with the goal of helping those impacted by the fire heal from emotional wounds, as well as raise money to help them rebuild, which is still happening even years after the campfire. I spoke with the game's creator, Tanner Staus, a Paradise native who hopes to share the history and the culture of his hometown and leave a lasting legacy for years to come. I loved learning about Paradise-opoly. I guess just starting off with your history and your connection to Paradise and also the surrounding communities of Pulga, Concow, and Magalia, what made it such a special place for you growing up?
So I did most of my actual growing up in Magalia, in Upper Magalia. But I think when you're, you know, part of that community, like, you know, anywhere from sort of Sterling City to Paradise, you're definitely mostly considered a Paradisian. But yeah, and then I had family. I had a grandma in Orville, and my dad was from Orville. My mom moved to Paradise when she was really young. And it was just, you know, like for me, it was the nature and just kind of that small town feel that, just the traditions and the familiar faces. And I think honestly, it's hard to kind of identify with those things when you're young. And, you know, I had an eye for the outside and just really wanted to kind of travel and see what else there was. But then after I've done that, and I've traveled the world and I've done a lot of things that I've really set out to do, you really start to appreciate what the places that really brought you up brought to your life. And I think for me, I really appreciate a lot of it more now as an adult than I ever did as a kid.
And that led to this board game, which helps your community in the aftermath of the campfire. When did the idea for Paradise-opoly begin?
It began very shortly after the fire. Pretty much all of the family that we had in the area, the homes were destroyed. So our grandmother, like I said, still lived in Orville. So we ended up having about three families down there staying for the first month or so before everyone kind of got a little bit back on their feet. But we would just be, you know, hanging around with not much to do and playing Monopoly as we would do. And just seeing the outpouring, seeing all the donations, seeing all the help coming in. And I would do, you know, whatever I could to kind of help in small ways, but just really wanted to be able to do something more substantial. And it just started as a really small idea one day when we were playing. I just thought, hey, it'd be really cool if I made a, you know, really detailed, cool game like this about Paradise, and I could sell it and make some money and donate it. And it was just a kind of oddball idea that would normally just kind of, you know, drift in the wind. And for some reason, it really stuck. And within the next couple of weeks, I was fully committed to doing it and following through, even though I at that time had no idea what I was getting into and what it would become as a project. But it was just ultimately something I wanted to do to help.
Yeah, I would imagine an idea is one thing, but I don't know if you're board game experienced in terms of actually building and creating a board game.
No, and I wouldn't even really consider myself like a big gamer. I mean, you know, definitely socially and with friends and with family sometimes, but you know, like there's just huge board game enthusiasts out there with shelves full of, you know, just any kind of board game you can imagine. And that really wasn't necessarily me, but it was just a fun idea that I thought I could set my mind to and do. And yeah, it really just kind of took shape as I went through it. And as I got, you know, guidance from certain good sources that I had, really evolved massively throughout the whole process.
You know, I've been up to Paradise and the surrounding communities several times over the years, starting with the campfire, but also in the years after as people rebuilt. And you, along with so many other people, were just scattered all over, and so many people didn't come back. But this board game, just taking a look at it, really gets to the heart and the spirit of being from Paradise. Help us visualize what this board game actually helps people feel and help people remember about their beloved town?
Well, it really became something special, I think, through all the details. And I think the biggest thing that it really does is it elicits a feeling of home. And I think that feeling of home is an indescribable feeling. You can name a place, you can name an address, you can name, you know, certain things, but truly that feeling of home that you long for when you're away from it, and that you are just enveloped in when you're, you know, really feeling that sense of community and tradition and history. That's what I wanted to elicit through this game and through playing it and through reading through all the stories and all of the familiar sites with the artwork. And just, I think that that's really what it does. I think there's a lot of people that still are struggling with their memories of the town and only focusing on the destruction and the trauma that they went through escaping the town that day. And there's people that escaped for their lives and fled and have never been back, and to have, you know, at this point, no intention of going back. And I think for some of them, who they've told me that it's been the first time they've been able to remember the town and the positive memories without being flooded with that grief and that trauma. Yeah. And I think that was something that I never thought it would be when I initially, you know, set out with this, but it has been uncovered, and just through all the time and the detail and the nuance of everything that I wanted to go into it, that's really what started to come across.
I was reading one of the reviews of the game, because it's now available for purchase, and it really just hits home how, you know, being from Paradise can go back generations. The person who left a review said that, you know, their father had moved to Paradise in like the early 1900s. You know, they had been there since, you know, the 30s. They were also impacted by the campfire as well. And just thinking about those generations and the decades, you know, behind this wonderful town, how did you narrow it down to choosing what landmarks and pieces to use for your board game?
So, I mean, that was definitely one of the most challenging parts and one of the most nerve-wracking parts, because I knew very early on that I didn't want to have to make those decisions on my own and decide, you know, just based on my kind of my subjective opinion of what would be the top or most favorite things. So I involved the community. And one of the first things I did was I started a Facebook group and just kind of petitioned the idea of the game, and people really latched onto it. And I wanted to gather their thoughts and their opinions. And that's what I did. And I started doing all these posts where I would just ask, you know, what's your favorite restaurant? What's your favorite, you know, neighborhood or just, you know, historical events and things like that. And would log every single comment and suggestion and everything that I got, and then put them up to a vote, and sort of did it as like inclusive and diplomatically as I could. And I think it really did kind of narrow down a good overall, you know, kind of agreed upon selection of what would go into the game with just the limited space there was. I mean, that was, you know, knowing that there was going to be so many things still left out was a really hard part of the process, but I was able to use the community to kind of do that with me. And it made them a part of the creation of it too. And people love that. They love that I was able to include them and have it really, you know, at that level of that stage of the development, it was a community process.
Give us a little bit of a tour of the board game. What are some pieces and landmarks that stand out to you?
I think that it's, for me, it's the little nuanced details. It's some of the things that just locals will kind of understand and get. Like there's one card in one of the draw cards, which is the roll of the dice card. And it says you got a ticket from the Paradise Police Department for catching air off of the Elliott bump, and you have to go back four spaces. And the Elliott bump is just this big dip and kind of almost jump on this road, Elliott Road in Paradise. And it's been there for years in all different shapes and forms when there used to be the railroad tracks there. So people notoriously either purposefully or accidentally catch some pretty good air off of that. So it's just little things like that that are kind of funny and special and known to locals that I wanted to, you know, not just the obvious landmarks and things like that, but really put subtle things in there. So just kind of filling it out with that was special to me, and putting the extra time and effort to do that.
Do you have Billy Park in there?
Billy Park is in there. That was one that got chosen. Yeah, for one of the favorite parks.
I would
bet. And the duck pond.
Oh, the duck pond. I also saw that you have Apple Tree Village, and I had spent on multiple occasions time with Stephen Murray. He worked at the mobile home park there, and he helped over 200 residents evacuate. What went into having Apple Tree Village part of the board game?
Yeah, I actually met Stephen not too long after the fire too, just kind of teaming up with some of his efforts, and ended up helping him with his Coral Apple Foundation and all that. But Apple Tree was, that was the number one choice. I wanted to, there were so many mobile home parks in town, and so many great ones too, that, you know, I knew that needed to be kind of a representation, you know, that sort of side of the community needed to be represented. And through the vote, that was the top choice. Yeah. Rightfully so, I think.
Yeah.
But some may argue that, but I, you know, they're all great, but that's just, you know, that was the hard part. I mean, yeah, there was a majority vote on that, but it's still leaving out, you know, without writing an entire book on every, you know, every part and piece of history and paradise. That's just kind of how by design it had to be.
Given that you had such a strong level of engagement from people wanting to be part of this board game, was it cathartic being able to kind of work on this piece as a community, even when you weren't all physically together?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was really you could really feel kind of the group aspect to, you know, putting all this stuff on the board and knowing that it was what people wanted to see on there. And I think in that process, it was kind of humbling to see, you know, folks have to reminisce that much. And I mean, really just the whole process itself, I think, other than the outcome, was the best thing, was the most rewarding thing to watch. It was in this time of, I mean, this was, you know, just in the 6 months, 8 months after the fire, and so much grief and so much sorrow around what we had lost. And it was ended up being a very positive activity for people to kind of come together and reminisce and comment, and, you know, see their friends commenting. And it ended up being a very positive space for people to come and, you know, remember the positive about it.
How did it feel to play it for the first time?
To play it for the first time when I finally had like a full prototype of it was really emotional. I, you know, got to see pieces of it kind of come together along the way, but then I do remember the first time that I got a full prototype with the box and everything put together from the factory. And I think we definitely celebrated that day. I mean, it was just a huge milestone. And, you know, I would play prototypes and self-made, kind of homemade prototypes through a lot of the process, but just having it all there in front of me was a bit overwhelming, and was, you know, it was really hard to kind of put it into words. And I would do a lot of that, trying to write and share the different milestones and things online and the blogging. And it was really special. It was a really special milestone.
Given that you don't currently live in Paradise, have you been back?
Yeah, I'm back there all the time. I kind of took a change with a girlfriend moving out to Arizona about a year ago, and, you know, still have my heart there, and so many friends, and so much to be back there for. And my family, most of my family is now in Southern Oregon, so still close to them up there. So, yeah, I spend probably half my time up there, and I mean, really between here, there, and I work in Los Angeles, and kind of all over. So I'm a bit of a nomad in that sense, but home base is Arizona, and my heart base is in paradise.
Yeah, as well as so many others.
Right.
Finally, Tanner, this board game Paradiseopoly is available for purchase in Paradise as well as in Chico, and I believe in Oroville as well. People can also buy it online and it can get delivered to their home. When people actually take in this game, they begin playing it. I mean, you say this on your website. It was never meant to be a representation of the wildfire, of the campfire, but to really preserve the spirit of paradise. How do you hope this game will reflect paradise's identity?
I really wanted to just, reflect the legacy of paradise and what we all know and remember, not so much, what was lost, but I mean, it is what was lost, but we want to honor and, hold close to the past, but not always be reminded of the destruction. And I think that that's what this does. I think that it really just embodies a lot of the core memory of what Paradise is, and I like to call it, a memoir for paradise in the form of a board game. And even for, kids who are growing up that really won't have known a lot of what was there and where they live, and for people visiting for the first time or moving there for the first time, it's an educational tool too. And I mean, it could be used in schools. It could be, it's a history book in the form of a board game. So it's just kind of a fun way to really remember and know what paradise truly was.
Yeah, and the intention of the board game too, and this is important to mention, is that the net profits will go to help the town as well through a variety of nonprofits, right, Tanner?
I have a few nonprofits that I'm working closely with, Regenerating Paradise, and of course Stephen Murray and all his efforts, and the North Valley Community Foundation. It's been a huge support to the project as well. And, I want to just do anything that I can, even still this, years out, it's there's still efforts needed, and there's still people struggling to get home, and affordable housing projects are a big part of what I want to donate to. And, I've learned that unless I really scale this massively, it's not going to be, a severely substantial amount that I would be able to donate. At least I say that now, but we'll see. But I think what I've really learned is what we talked about, just how special and how therapeutic this can be to some. I think overall, just it being something so special that can be around for years is probably the best thing that's going to come out of this.
Tanner, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Tanner Staus is the creator of Paradiseopoly, a board game based on the classic Monopoly board game. Staus plans to use the net earnings from the game to help his hometown of Paradise and neighboring communities, Magalia, Polga, and Concow, rebuild from the campfire. We have a link to the game's website on our Insight page. And that is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. You can also shoot us an email, insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Nick Dobis and Victor Corral Martinez, with managing editor Arm Sarkissian. Our digital producer is Megan Minata. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones, and our engineer is Chris Feltz. Our show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. And I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.